This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Right now, the number if you want to join the show is 603-283-6160 here tonight. It's Ian, Dan, and Chris. And unfortunately, nobody had to leave for the rest of the evening. The number here again is 603-283-6160. We were talking about the Supreme Court that has struck down the plan to spend $400 billion taxpayer dollars on student loan forgiveness. And that is dead now. The Supreme Court ruling 6-3, according to the Daily Mail in this particular case. The plan would have eradicated $10,000 in debt for borrowers that are earning less than $125,000 and $20,000, or rather up to $20,000 for those with Pell Grants. It was challenged by six Republican states and two borrowers who argued that Biden should have sought approval from Congress for a plan using substantial taxpayer funds. The Chief Justice in the Supreme Court agreed and said in the majority opinion that the move, quote, requires that Congress speak clearly before a Department of Education secretary can unilaterally alter large sections of the American economy. And, of course, Joe Biden, not very happy about it, called the decision disappointing and wrong and vowed to fight back in a statement released hours after the ruling came down. He said, "The fight is not over. I'll have more to announce when I address the nation this afternoon. My administration's student debt relief plan would have been the lifeline tens of millions of hardworking Americans needed as they try to recover from a once-in-a-century pandemic." As though that has anything to do with their college loans.
I mean, part of the problem is that there is an oversupply of college-educated individuals in the wrong career paths. You can't go to college and then expect to get paid, you know, a higher salary when you graduate if you don't take into account where the demand for good-paying jobs are, right? Like, the whole basket weaving thing is a perfect example. I mean, I don't even know if that's a real thing, but the point
is, probably was somewhere.
Yeah. The point is that you actually do have to think about the skills that you're going to achieve, from those funds that you're exerting if you want them to basically eventually be beneficial to you.
Right. The theory is you are investing in yourself. Right. You're bettering yourself to make you more attractive in a job market, to make you more attractive to potential employers, in theory. And so the idea is that the degree makes you more desirable, maybe would make it so you make more money. At least that's the pitch that they sell to these kids. And I think it is important to remember that this is a sales pitch, that they are pitching a product. They are pitching a service to very young people who don't have a lot of experience when it comes to what a loan is. You're not allowed to get a loan until you're age 18 in the United States, and that's the same time they're hitting you up to get a $100,000 loan or whatever for college.
The funny thing about this is they're effectively selling to 16 and 17-year-olds primarily. Mm-hmm. That's the market for this.
That's right.
And they wouldn't be able to get a loan if it wasn't for the government guarantees.
That's a great point.
And they wouldn't.
They have no credit.
Right. They have no credit. Right. It's, it's just always blows my mind that, like, it's not really, I don't think, I will say that I think college is overrated, but I don't necessarily think that, like, there's no value in getting a higher education. The problem is that people are getting a education in something that isn't worth something in the marketplace.
Right.
So, if I were to go in, I don't know, maybe like I'm trying to think of like maybe if I was to go and, into some sort of physicist or chemistry or something where there is often the STEM, what they call STEM, like scientific
technology, yeah, technology, engineering,
right.
Math, something
like that. Those jobs are almost certainly going to be worth, or those, I should say, those degrees are almost certainly going to be worth more than you pay into, in terms of, or loan, you get a loan for and you pay for. But a lot of these other degrees that people come out with, all you're doing.
Unless you become a teacher, yeah, you're not going to be able to do anything with the other.
Yeah, even if you can do something with it, if the cost of the loan exceeds what you're going to make additionally, in theory, and it doesn't cover those costs, it doesn't make sense. Right.
People shouldn't do things that don't make financial sense. And if you do something that doesn't make financial sense, you should be the one, solely you, should be the one responsible for paying the cost of making that mistake. You screwed up. You got to pay the price, not everybody else.
Yeah. Part of the reason that in a sane world, it wouldn't be that young people couldn't get loans, but those loans would be tied to the ability
of... They'd be reasonable.
Well, they would be reasonable, but they'd also be tied to the ability of those individuals for the career path that they've chosen to go down to actually be able to repay those loans. Because if they can't repay those loans, the issuer of those loans will never make money because they'd end up defaulting on them. But they've undermined the whole free market system, basically, by guaranteeing those loans in the first place.
Well, and as we discussed last night, the fact that the government just guarantees these loans out there essentially means that the colleges can keep raising their rates. There's no end. It doesn't matter the fact that there are a number of colleges. In theory, they should be competing and rates should be coming down. But instead, they can cartelize and just everybody just knows they can raise their rates. And there's no penalty to them for raising the rates because kids are still being brainwashed to want to go to college, so there's still high demand on their services. They know that they can get whatever amount they want for their services because the government's going to back it up. So there's no downward pressure. There's no reason for them to do better and lower costs.
So, it's interesting. So I went to college, and I remember, high school. I mean, this would be
20 years ago.
It would have been like 2000, probably around the 2000. I graduated in 2003 from high school, so 2001, 2002, probably is sort of the time period. But I remember taking classes, and they really emphasizing college. I mean, the whole school emphasized college. This is a public school in New Jersey, and they emphasized college. But they had classes and things, and I don't know if it was a class that I took or whatever it was, but that they pushed on you. But one of the things that they never talked about was the fiscal aspect of picking a career path or picking a college, that you'd actually end up with something of value that would repay for itself. It was
what do you want to do? Do whatever you want.
Right. It was just a flat out go to college. The average. It was something like their sales pitch was something like that.
You
average,
make $1 million.
Well, it was something like their argument and the defense is, and I think they're still using sort of this as a defense of, well, the average college kid still makes more as a result of going to college. That's true. That's true, maybe, but it sort of overlooks the fact that a good percentage of those are actually worse off as a result of taking those loans out.
They don't factor in the college loan, I don't think, when they make that statement. I think they're just saying this person, quote-unquote, makes more, meaning that their paycheck is higher than someone who graduated high school. But how much of that paycheck is going to pay the college loan off for 30 years or whatever?
Well, that's true. I think in some situations they are talking about this is average. But the problem is that also means that there's a lot of people who make a lot more, right? Like it's definitely worth going to college because they're getting skills that
the average up.
Right. So it skews the fact that yes, maybe on average, but that means there's still a lot of people that are getting and taking these loans and they're actually going to be worse off as a result. Right.
Yeah. I got to give Biden some credit here, though. He does make an interesting counterpoint in his statement that he made about this. He says it would have been good for economic growth, both in the short and long term. I don't necessarily agree with that. But then he goes on. This is the part I think is interesting. He says the hypocrisy of Republican elected officials is stunning. They had no problem with billions in pandemic-related loans to businesses, including hundreds of thousands and, in some cases, millions of dollars for their own businesses, and those loans were forgiven. So he is making a good point here that during the so-called pandemic, Republicans were more than happy to hand out, in some cases, I think it was in total, like hundreds of billions of dollars in loans that went out to companies both large and small. All across the United States, and then as long as the terms of the loans were satisfied, they were able to just simply waive them. Now, I don't think that meant the taxpayers, you know, paid again for those loans later on. I think it just meant they wiped them off the books, which is not what they were talking about doing here with the college loans.
Well, effectively, what happened there, I'm pretty sure this is what's going on in that situation, is that let's say we do this again, right? Let's say we're going to waive, you know, these loans for these college students.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does that actually mean? It very well could mean that we're going to continue on with 18% inflation rate.
Sure.
Because that's basically what was going on when they were giving out all this money and they were printing all this money for the businesses.
Right.
You're going to keep having that happen, and then that's going to have negative economic consequences.
It's bad any way you slice it.
It wasn't good when they did it. When they were doing this for the businesses, it wasn't good when they were doing it for the college students. It was none of these things they should be doing. This is not what government should be doing.
But he is right that the Republicans were totally fine with the other loans.
It's not a Republican or Democrat issue. It's they all do it. All of these politicians do it.
Right, and that's because it's political.
Yeah, it might be a little different. And the funny part about it is, it will be like the Republicans will introduce something that does the same thing that the Democrats did. It might be the exact same thing. Like maybe it's war, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when the Republicans are in power and they introduce something, the Democrats will be against it. But then when the Democrats come into power, it reverses for the exact same sort of thing, funding war, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or something along those lines.
Yeah, now the Republicans are quote-unquote skeptical of wars. I'm not going to go and call them anti-war, but if they start the war, then it's totally fine, as we've seen. And the poll numbers bear it out. The Republicans are now, after 20 years, still, I believe it's a majority of them support the war in Iraq, what George W. Bush did 20 years ago. But fewer of them. It used to be like 80%+. Now it's like 50-something percent of the Republicans. But they still support it, while a minority of Republicans support the Ukraine thing, I think. Or it might be like 50% of Republicans.
And
80% of Democrats support the Ukraine thing. So it's just the complete opposite.
Yeah, it's literally we have a society in which we've got two different cults.
Mm-hmm,
and
totally.
It doesn't matter that they're basically one and the same. But you're going to do whatever your cult tells you to do, regardless of whether or not it makes any sense.
Yeah, you won't think about it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was the same thing the Republicans were doing, you know, 6 months ago. If the Democrats now want to do it, and you were against it 6 months ago because you were following the Democrats back then, well, now all of a sudden you want it, and it's like, it's so disgusting.
If you want to join the show here, the number is 603-283-6160. Maybe you want to take the side of the college loan forgiveness. I would love to hear your arguments on this. Again, the Supreme Court ruling 6-3 today to crush Biden's plan to pay off. I mean, it wouldn't pay off all the loans. It would only have been $10,000 for most people, right? So, like, that's... It wouldn't have even taken care of, I think, most people's loans. Probably. I mean, what's the average college loan? It's got to be like 50 or something like that, wouldn't you think?
It was like $200,000 for college in 2005-ish time period.
$200,000.
I
guess it depends on where you go.
So take into consideration that some states subsidize their education, so mm-hmm. what you're sort of paying isn't that, but you've paid it through taxes, or your parents have paid it through taxes. But yeah, it's probably something like $200,000. And I'll just give you an example. So New Jersey doesn't, or at least when I back in the day when I was going to college, New Jersey wasn't funding its higher education. Pennsylvania was funding its higher education. It costs me. I lived in New Jersey. It cost me out-of-state tuition in Pennsylvania was basically the same as it would be for in-state in New Jersey.
Okay, so wait, you went to school in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Okay.
And the reason is because in-state tuition in Pennsylvania was something like $2,000 mm-hmm. versus like $10,000 for out of
semester.
Per semester, but that doesn't include all the costs. That's just the tuition figure. So it doesn't include books. It doesn't include room and board, that kind of thing.
I see. And it ended up being $200,000?
Yeah, that's going to include like room and board and books and everything, but something along those lines. Yeah. And, it also does vary a lot, but in terms of, like, different colleges, in terms mm-hmm. of costs. But often the costs are sort of misleading because, private schools are – the prices are higher, mm-hmm. but you almost always get a lot more grants, and not loans, but grants. So you're mm-hmm. not really paying that full price, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Yep, it is.
It's crazy. So, $10,000 would have been a drop in the bucket to some extent for some of these people with these loans.
It's a joke. It's probably more of a PR stunt.
That's absolutely what it is. Right?
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. This is political. So, the Republicans, of course, are for the business loans. They're fine with that because they want to be pro-business. And the Democrats are for the paying off the college loans or $10,000 of it because they know that that's going to be mostly liberals. They know that the college graduates are going to be their constituency, and so they want to, make sure they're solid on the Democrat side. Like, we tried. And now they'll still be able to say, we tried, but those darn Republicans, we tried to help.
What it comes down to is they're buying votes, right?
Straight up
buying votes. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
There's no other better way to describe what's going on here.
Yep.
They're buying votes.
Let's go to the phones here, and then there's another big Supreme Court decision that came out today. It has to do with LGBTQ people and businesses, whether they can serve them or refuse to serve them. We'll get into that here. But Bad Slave is on the line in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Bad Slave.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Chris and Ian. I'm hoping for really, really good results for you, Ian, in this whole mess of the Crypto Six or what's left of it.
I appreciate
it. Yeah, there you go. Anyways, but I wanted to say about education, and I cover the board on it, with what I call government indoc, which of course is commonly known as public schools,
mm-hmm.
and academia, further on in the process. All this stuff is completely pulled out of the market, controlling realm, which means all of this stuff is excessively expensive.
What you're saying, I think, is that these government schools or these universities are not subject to true market forces. And this is something that I was talking about earlier, where the prices in a free market, as we see in industries that are less regulated or unregulated, tends to go down. Price goes down because of competition and, people get better at doing the things that they do or the manufacturing or whatever. Costs go down over time. It's just sort of the natural tendency of a competitive marketplace. But those things do not occur in the college education marketplace because it is a highly restrictive market. The players all are getting government subsidies, and so they're playing it up to raise their prices so they can get even more of the money from the government in these cases. So it's a backwards incentives.
They have a pattern, Ian, of starting with the public schools, and we're breaking people over the coals in exactly the same way, and in fact. I mean, to me, everything that's IT, which is most of what colleges and government schools do, is IT. IT, information technology, delivery of data. Delivery of data has gotten so cheap in these days. That, I mean, basically, you know.
Are you saying, just to clarify, are you saying that the colleges aren't teaching IT? You're saying that they're just delivering information to people and we don't need them anymore. You could just do the research yourself, go online, get, you know, free courses and things like that?
I think a lot of that is true. But, I mean, even if they were, even if they were to have the organizations surrounding these things, the proper delivery of IT is going to be a really inexpensive, operation. And just,
I'm not really sure what you mean when you say the proper delivery of IT. That's confusing to me.
Data, it's a matter of, you got data in your computer at home and mm-hmm. you got data somewhere out on the, in the cloud, I guess you call it.
Uh-huh.
And you just bring that in, with the.
What does that have to do with colleges though?
Well, exactly. Not the colleges, if people were smart, this is what would be going on.
Okay. Hey, you kind of lost me on this one. Thank you for the call tonight, Bad Slave. And you looked kind of confused there, too,
I was
Chris.
Very confused.
I was trying real hard there, but no.
I don't know if he was saying that you could learn IT on your own, which I can't. I would say that I did prior to going to college for computer science, but basically IT. I was very disappointed with the basically incompetency of, education at the college level. It was maybe bad at like lower levels, but mm-hmm. it was pretty bad at the college level too. So
as far as in that field,
yeah. I mean, I went to study something that I already really kind of knew. I felt like I came out knowing in some respects less than when I went in. it was kind of that bad. And I will say this: I don't necessarily think that the people I graduated with who went in knowing nothing didn't gain something. I think they did, but it was still bad. Mm-hmm. The whole process and, professors that didn't know what the heck was going on, what the heck they were talking about. You know, you can't lecture an hour to me on something I know a lot about. And then, it takes me half an hour to figure out what you're talking about. And then once I figure out what you're talking about it and I realize you just don't know what you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. There's one professor who talked about PVRs for 45 minutes before I raised my hand, and he was confusing it with VPNs, and he couldn't explain what a VPN was.
God,
and
it's embarrassing.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, I'm talking about VPNs when I questioned it, and yeah, it was just the whole thing was. But this wasn't that abnormal.
All right, we got more coming up here, and you can join the show as well. The number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything you want. The third Supreme Court ruling, we got to talk about that coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA News Update. President Biden is laying out new steps to protect student loan borrowers by following the Supreme Court's ruling striking down his debt relief program.
First, I'm announcing today a new path consistent with today's ruling to provide student debt relief to as many borrowers as possible, as quickly as possible.
While speaking from the White House, the president said he'll invoke the Higher Education Act in an effort to provide debt relief to as many borrowers as possible. An Arizona truck driver was allegedly on TikTok when he caused a crash that killed five people. Danny Tyner was speeding down a highway near a suburb of Phoenix when he crashed into two cars. Cars were shoved between another semi-truck and two other vehicles and burst into flames. He's facing five manslaughter charges. More than 50 million Americans are expected to travel at least 50 miles from home this 4th of July weekend. Drive carefully. Dave Collins, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live. You can join the show. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can still weigh in on the college discussion, especially if you have feelings or thoughts you want to share on the Supreme Court shutting down. Before it even got started, the idea of this college loan so-called forgiveness, which of course would have been paid for by dollar holders. Now, I don't know if it would have been taxpayers or if they would have just straight up printed the $400 billion that they needed, which would have, of course, inflated the money supply.
Yeah.
And then everyone holding on to dollars would have paid the price.
And that's kind of interesting because it does sort of affect it does affect the economy sort of in a different way, right? Like, as opposed to affecting...
Depending on how it's formed, you mean?
Well, whether or not you put the burden on taxpayers directly, or you put the burden on all of society by inflating, you know, the money supply, right? So
yeah, it's not clear how exactly it would have been funded.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, like, would one be a better method? Like, if they're going to do it, let's say they're going to do it, like, would one method be better than the other, right? Like... And I don't know. I don't know if there is an answer to that, but it's just like it's just sort of an interesting question of like,
that's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know,
but it's not going to happen. At least not at this point. So the next story here is from Axios.com, reporting that the Supreme Court has also ruled that businesses can refuse service to LGBTQ customers, which I have to say was a surprise after many years of you gotta bake the cake rulings coming out of courts and such.
Wasn't the you gotta bake a cake ruling, didn't they rule the right way and effectively say not? You don't have to bake the cake.
They?
I thought at the end.
Maybe you're right about that.
I might be mistaken, but I thought they did rule similarly, and it was a good ruling. But I could be mistaken.
Well, in this case, businesses can refuse to serve same-sex couples if doing so would violate the owner's religious beliefs, according to the Supreme Court today.
You know, the only thing I would say is I'm not sure I like the fact that it is if it violates the religious beliefs, right? Like, why should it matter whether they're religious beliefs or not, right?
Right. Why can't it just be they're a bigot?
Right. Like, I should be able to serve whoever I want, you know, whether
right. or not.
Right. Yeah. Or not. You know, this is not, you know, we should have. And the only, I think there's circumstances where this is not, it would not be okay to refuse to serve. Potentially, but it's the result of government intervention in the market, or you know, like for example, the banks, right? The, mm-hmm. the banks are heavily regulated. If you can't open a competing bank to serve LGBT people, and the government is saying the banks can't serve LGBT people or whatever, like because it's regulated, well, you're basically screwing over a population that has no way into the system in the first place. Mm-hmm. There's no market solution to the problem because it's regulated.
The story here says the case concerns Lori Smith, a Colorado web designer who wanted to create and sell wedding websites, but not to same-sex couples. Colorado's civil rights law, which wasn't Colorado the place with the bakery as well? I think it was.
I feel like it was, too, yeah.
The gay bakery.
I don't know for sure, though.
Or not the gay bakery, the bakery run by the Christian guy.
I guess it was run by a Christian
guy. Yeah, I think so.
I know the baker was like a Christian guy or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Colorado's civil rights law prohibited her or any business that serves the general public from turning away customers because of their sexual orientation. She said complying with that law would force her to espouse views that she doesn't agree with. She says the artwork I create is speech. She told Colorado Public Radio in December, adding that, quote, those messages must be consistent with my convictions, she said. The conservative majority Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in favor of Smith, saying she has a First Amendment right to refuse to design custom wedding websites for same-sex couples. Quote, the First Amendment envisions the United States as a rich and complex place where all persons are free to think and speak as they wish, not as the government demands. Colorado cannot deny that promise consistent with the First Amendment, according to the Judge Neil Gorsuch in the majority opinion. And I agree with this here because ultimately, and I also with you on this, Chris, whether it's her religion or not, she should be free to not speak if that's what she wants to do. And, you know, web designing is speech, right? Like she's pouring out her creativity onto the page on the internet. And just because you come in with $1,000 and you want to hire this person does not mean that that person is obligated to take your money and write the things you want her to write on the internet.
We're not slaves, and we shouldn't be slaves.
Well, I mean, that's not the same thing as slavery. You'd be getting paid, but ultimately you should not be obligated to espouse a thing that you don't agree with.
I feel like it's got an element of slavery to it, but I know what you mean. So let me clarify something. Is this a U.S. Supreme Court ruling we're talking
about?
It is. Okay.
Yeah.
And this is interesting because it's sort of conflicting, right? Logically conflicting with other rulings that have occurred over the years. So just as an example, commercial speech is not protected the way other types of political speech is protected, which sort of means this ruling seems inconsistent. Like, why is it okay?
What's another example, though, of, like, commercial
speech?
Yeah, I'm
trying to think. And maybe I'm just thinking about this. And
Are we talking about advertising cigarettes?
Yeah, like, I'm thinking about maybe advertising cigarettes probably is a good example, where it's okay for the government to regulate that, but it's not okay for the government to regulate,
consistency.
It seems
that's inconsistent
in terms of, you know, the logic and the rationale.
I guess the difference there would be no one can advertise cigarettes, period, across the board, whereas this is just saying the individual business owner can't be forced to take clients that they don't want. So it's not the same circumstance.
It's not exactly the same, but it seems so similar.
Yeah, I mean, it is a similar restriction in that if I'm a billboard,
like kind of like a hypocritical kind of.
It's totally hypocritical. Yeah. If I'm a billboard owner and I want to rent my billboard to Marlboro Cigarettes, I should be able to do that. That's just, you know, that should be a marketplace action. It should be free. It should be unrestricted, unless people protest and, you know, then I decide to change my mind about it. But yeah, the government shouldn't be involved in that,
right,
in that transaction.
Right. Yeah, and I don't. I think that's probably a little bit in error the way it's being described, just in that the government doesn't technically prohibit you from renting to Marlboro. It's they're prohibiting Marlboro from putting up advertising to advertise their cigarettes. So,
yeah, I guess you're probably right about that.
Yeah. Everybody understood what you were saying, but...
Well, yeah, I wonder, though, like, they wouldn't come after the magazine who took Marlboro's money? They would only go after Marlboro in that case? I don't know about that, because I can tell you
that
in certain cases...
I'm not 100% sure. You might be right.
As I understand it, like, there's certain things we can't advertise on broadcast radio. It used to be, like, gambling, for instance,
yeah.
I think. I don't know if that applies these days, because things have loosened up on certain types of gambling. But there's certain areas where you got to be really careful,
yep,
because they can come after you for it. Or like the SEC, for instance, coming after people, Hollywood stars, just for promoting a cryptocurrency on their Twitter account.
Sure. Yep.
So
I think you're right. I think there's some inconsistency in the law too, probably depending on what we're talking about specifically.
Yeah.
Certainly, banks are liable for. Which is really seems messed up, but liable for the transactions that customers do to overseas gambling sites.
That's correct. But the customer is not.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it's not 100% necessarily the case. It could be it's just the billboard owner even, or it could be both even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. If you know and you want to weigh in here, please, the number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about a case with a web designer in Colorado who apparently has some kind of religious beliefs, and she doesn't like them gays getting married. So she doesn't want to be hired by gay couples. Because she sells wedding websites, because I guess that's a thing, wedding websites. The court ruled that persons are free to think and speak as they wish, not as the government demands, said Neil Gorsuch, saying further in the majority opinion, quote, the opportunity to think for ourselves and express those thoughts freely is among our most cherished liberties and part of what keeps our republic strong, he said.
You know, the other thing about this is, like, why would I want, I'm a gay man, why would I want to hire or force somebody to take my money who doesn't want to provide a product or service? Like,
I've never understood this.
Like, it doesn't even really make a whole lot of sense to me. It just seems so mind-bogglingly dumb.
In the case of the, I believe it was the Colorado cake maker, if I recall correctly, it was a lawyer who was, like, looking to file this lawsuit. They were pushing.
So
were activists.
It's a financial thing move.
I think
on that
it
part,
was.
Maybe.
Well, also, there's a certain type of activist, and obviously you're not this kind of gay individual. You know, you're kind of like the leave me alone kind of gay, but you're not the I'm going to push my, you know, beliefs on you kind of person. And there are those people out there who believe that they should have a right to someone else's services simply because they can breathe, I guess. I don't know. And that is a really inappropriate viewpoint to have, because, like, why would these gay couples that want to force the cake maker to make their cake, would they want to do whatever it is that they do for some bigoted hick or whatever? Like, if they're doing haircuts and some bigoted hick comes into their haircutting salon and starts insulting their customers and insulting their haircutters,
yeah,
and then it says, well, you all gotta serve me, gays, and then, you know, are you gonna kick the guy out of the business? Of course you're gonna kick him out.
You know what's funny about this too is, like, I think about it in terms of my business, and I basically have a policy with my business.
You sell computer parts.
We sell computers.
ThinkPenguin.com.
Yep, computers and computer parts and accessories. But, you know, effectively, my thoughts on this are, like, for our policies, we'll do business with anybody who wants to buy you know, stuff from us, right?
Like, well, in your case, you don't even know who the people are for the most part, right? Like, they're just orders that come in from the internet.
Largely, I mean, we can see if somebody orders, like say a government, right? Like, orders, places an order, and it's they're a government URL for the email address that
comes
in, right? Okay. Like, we could theoretically go in and
the
cancel
Department
the order.
Of Defense,
right, exactly. Yeah. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, there, even though we sort of have a policy where we will serve basically anybody, and I don't care who you are, right, or what you represent, we'll serve you. But there is a line that we certainly draw in that if you are, if you call us up and you are, say, you ask to speak to management, right, and I'm on the line with you, for example, and you're telling me my employee, like, did something. One, I had, this actually happened at one point, where I had watched him open the box. Like, so let's say it was a computer repair. It was some sort of repair of some kind. Okay. And he opened the box, and I had watched him open the box, and the laptop was, I think it was like a laptop, and it was just in the box without any packaging or anything.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, but there was all sorts of issues with the laptop, and the issue that it was sent in for, the RMA, was something like to fix some issue. So we fixed that issue, but there was, like, grime all over the screen.
And, oh, God.
And it was gross, right? It really shouldn't, we probably shouldn't have warranted it at all. But, you know, whatever. We fixed the issue. We sent it back to him. But we didn't fix the screen, so to speak, because technically it wasn't under warrant. It wouldn't have been a warrantable issue anyway, because it wasn't a defect. It was like an abusive environment.
The customer was dirty.
Yeah, right, exactly. And
so the customer got mad because you didn't clean up the screen?
No,
for
the customer had the nerve to ask for management to complain that the employee had, like, had lied or had done something to the laptop to like, destroy the screen or something. And
they were claiming it wasn't them.
Right. And I'm like, I literally saw him open this laptop up.
Right.
And, or open the box that the laptop was in, and it was, like, jostling around. Like, you could shake this thing, and I don't know how it was working at all when he turned it off. But the point is simply that if you lie to me, you know, if you're lying to me, especially about an employee,
blacklist them.
Oh, there's zero chance that you're going to get serviced. We're not going to fix your stuff. We're going to make a note. We're going to make a comment about, you know, your order and your yeah. And if you try to get service, we're not going to give you it's certainly not priority service. We're not going to, you know, make you a priority when we go to do business with you either now or in the future. We're going to take that into consideration, and we're going to say, hey, you know, maybe we would fix your computer again, but we wouldn't necessarily go out of the way to do extra stuff if it's not in the warranty explicitly. Right. But what I mean by this is we often go out of the way beyond what the warranty technically, you know, you know, is in the warranty. So,
you want customers to remark that they had a really great experience, that you did more than was expected, and that's an important thing to have.
But we're not going to go beyond the contract. The terms of the contract, if you're going to lie to me about an employee and try to get an employee in trouble.
Furthermore, if it were me, I'd blacklist the guy. Like, if I know that there's a dishonest customer and they're not apologetic or whatever, right? Like, they're a problem customer, they're going to keep being a problem customer. It's like, I don't need your money. You can just not buy from me ever again. You know, your account's going on a blacklist. If you place any more orders, we're just not going to fill those orders.
It's, you know,
we'll honor our contracts for what you bought, but we're not under any obligation to sell you any more computers or any other parts ever again.
Right. And that's an interesting question. And I'm trying to think if we've ever
gone that far,
gone so far as to completely cut somebody off. And I feel like we probably have, but it's
it ain't worth it.
Yeah, but you're right. There are certain customers.
The customer is not always right.
Right. That it's you're absolutely you may not be able to. There was only one time where I hung up on a customer, and actually it was the employee. It was that whole situation with the customer telling me an employee, and he phrased it in such a way that I'm like, I can't respond to this without like telling the customer you're a liar and being like. So I'm just like, I just hung up on the guy.
Wow.
But I've never hung up on any other person that I can think of.
That's a good story, Chris.
Yeah. It's like, but this is why. This is why it's important that, you know, people have, you know, they have the right to deny service.
Yes, they should. They should. And they shouldn't have to have a, you know, any kind of excuse. You shouldn't have to explain yourself. You should just be able to deny service for any reason you want. And that does lead me to wonder about this particular ruling by the Supreme Court, where it has specifically to do with so-called LGBTQ, and the case was regarding same-sex couples who wanted to hire a website designer to make a marriage website, and she didn't want to. Does this mean that she could also refuse to make a website for an Italian if she didn't like Italians? Or could she refuse to, you know, you see what I'm saying? Is it only for people who are LGBTQ, or can this particular ruling by the Supreme Court be interpreted to say that if it's against your religion, because apparently that's the qualifier here, if it's against your religion, can you refuse to serve other types of people?
Can I refuse to pay my taxes because it's against my religion?
I suspect not. But,
I mean,
that'd be great if you could. Here's more. So Gorsuch said, quote, all of us will encounter ideas we consider unattractive, but added that, quote, tolerance, not coercion, is our nation's answer. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? If that were actually true, if coercion was not the answer from the government, right? Because that's all they ever do. If they don't like your ideas, if they don't like what you're doing, then they will absolutely use coercion on you. That's why our co-host Aria is sitting in a prison cell for the next 18 months.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because that was all about ideas. It had nothing to do with any victim or anything like that. It was about their idea that you have to get their piece of paper, fill out their forms and jump through all of their hoops. That's their idea, not ours.
Yeah, I love the phrase paperwork violation, and
that's what it was. Yeah,
I remember hearing that in the court as how I believe it was. I think it was your lawyer who described it that way. Mm. And I was thinking that is such a good description of, like, what's going on here? These are paperwork violations. You know, if you're going to say guilty, it's not anything more than a paperwork violation, and the penalty should be, you know, little more than a probably a very, very small fine. You know, maybe a $50 mm-hmm. fine or something like that. Times, you know, what? Well, I guess in your case it would have been maybe seven people, but it's just yeah.
There was a dissenting opinion, of course. Again, it was a 6-3 rule. Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote in the dissent, quote, there has been a backlash to the movement for liberty and equality for gender and sexual minorities. New forms of inclusion have been met with reactionary exclusion. This is heartbreaking. Well, that's not really an argument. It's just an opinion. Well, I guess that's all the Supreme Court ever issues is opinions. But usually they have some sort of legal backing to them. She's just saying this hurts her feelings ultimately. And this isn't about the liberty. It's not liberty to go and tell a business owner they have to do what you want them to do if they don't want to do it. That's not what liberty is. Okay, that's using the threat of the state and saying, if you don't bake this cake or you don't make this website for me, then I'm going to go to some men with guns and I'm going to force you to do it. That's the opposite of liberty. That's coercion.
I think there's some other aspect of this, the opposite of that too, I think is also probably important to point out here, is you also, as a business, shouldn't be required to, for example, like if you're in the auto manufacturing world, right, there's a lot of regulations, and often they mandate that you use a particular part from a particular company effectively. And this happens in a lot of industries, and that's also just as wrong.
Yes, that's true. Absolutely. Ketanji Brown Jackson and Elena Kagan on the dissent said further, the immediate symbolic effect of the decision is to mark gays and lesbians for second-class status. She said the ruling conveyed a message that, quote, we live in a society with social castes, and warned that the underpinning logic of the decision could extend beyond sexual orientation or gender identity. And that's good. If that's the case. Now, I'm not saying it's good to discriminate.
You might want to be careful about your words there.
I'm saying it's good if indeed it would be legal to discriminate. And the reason for that is because discrimination is a natural thing. We all do it. Okay? I discriminate against who I'm friends with, for instance. I don't want to be friends with everybody. I just want to be friends with the right people.
And it's not even like you necessarily think that just because you don't want to be friends with somebody that there's anything wrong with them or, that you dislike them. It's just that maybe you don't have the same interests, right?
That could be. So we all discriminate in our daily affairs. Some people discriminate for really bad reasons, right? Like they might discriminate against somebody because of their gender or because of their skin color or whatever. I'm against those sorts of discriminations, personally.
But these are moral issues. You don't have to put into law just because something is immoral. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to outlaw just because you wouldn't do it.
Right.
And I think that's a key thing here. It's like, yeah, maybe they should serve that gay couple, but you shouldn't use violence to force that business owner to serve that gay couple.
Right. And it doesn't have anything to do with creating a caste system. There's no... I don't know if caste system... I mean, I don't live in India, so I don't know a whole lot about the caste systems there or the Hindu religion or whatever it is. I suspect the government's involved in that, right, where there's a certain system and the government enforces it.
Historically,
please,
it was.
Let me know if I'm wrong about this. I mean, I've read a little bit about it over the years, but I'm not intimately familiar with it. That would be a caste system. This is simply social interactions between human beings who can make different decisions. This is a marketplace. This is people choosing for various different reasons, whether it be religious, whether they're just ignorant, or whether they're bigoted for whatever other reason they happen to be. They should be free to make those choices, and the rest of us should also be free to make choices. So maybe I wouldn't want, knowing about this woman and her web design... I don't know, I can do some web stuff, but I'm not a pro at it. Maybe I want to hire somebody to do some web work, and I catch wind that this lady is discriminating against LGBTQ couples, and I say to myself, you know what? There's 10 other people here in this town in Colorado that can do web design, and 9 of the 10 of them, they don't care if you're LGBTQ. So I'm going to call up the other 9 and see who gives me the best price, and I'm going to hire them instead. And you let the marketplace decide these things. If this lady lives in a particularly religious area, and instead it's like 9 out of the 10 people are like her, and they're bigoted, like there's only one unbigoted person who will sell a website to anybody if you can just pay him for it, then he's going to get all of the LGBTQ business as well as everybody else who supports
them. You're right, but let's say there aren't any businesses, right? Well, that's exactly why we need human freedom, so that people who are LGBTQ are free to get up and move, and the government can't come in and tie you to somebody like a parent or whatever. Anybody should be able to get up and move wherever they want, where they're going to be welcomed.
This is true. Hour number 3 is on the way. You can join the show, 603-283-6160, here on Free Talk Live.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish. GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS-certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're going to win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.